world, welcome to the Fuck Up Podcast with your host, Ubu. It's another week and we're giving you a hot episode, my darlings. Firstly, let me say Happy New Month. It's the 1st of September. I know about you, but all I feel is new money, new blessings, new beginnings, okay? So I hope that you surround yourself with positive energy and I'm wishing you and yours the very best in this month of September. And with that said, I say peace to you and cash to me. Yes. Well, today our guest is Gamu. And listen, the conversation was lit. Okay, so I'm not even going to hold you guys back. We're going to get right into it. So let's go. Hi, Gamu.
Hi, Bule. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you doing?
I'm good.
So I know you are in Johannesburg. How did you take the weather today? Because I am freezing.
I am really cold. I think what saved me was obviously staying indoors, but it's really, really cold. I think this week is going to be quite the weather we're having. But no, it's freezing. I am by the heater as we speak. So that should tell you everything you need to know.
I was having a conversation with my landlord and he was like, I promise you the gods are punishing us for the Zulu's behavior. And I'm like, sir.
Facts. At least this is not happening with load shedding. I think I would die. I don't know how I would handle both of these things. And like with the chaos happening at the same time as load shedding, I'd die. So no, it's been cold, but I'm just glad it's just cold weather without the load shedding.
Well, I hope they hold on to that because they have a great way of disappointing us. These people, they do the most.
They do the most. They just take advantage of the fact that, oh, the country is already burning. And, you know, as a way to like punish everyone, they could decide that we're just going to switch off electricity. So I hope it doesn't get to that because I do, you know how African governments are. They could just decide to, you know, disengage everything. But no, we're fine.
This is true. I hope they do that just for Durban, though, because that's where they're really wilding out. We didn't do nothing, but okay.
Right? Like, why are we in this? Why is this our business? I was just like, why are we in this? Because at first I was like, okay, these things only happen in KZN and in Durban area, so this is fine. But now it takes a few people to decide, actually, fuck that, we just want to miss everything around the country. And then that's when you had like the whole Hillbro and all these places. But I don't know why, like, this is not our business. What's this got to do with us?
Well, we can only hope it doesn't spread any further. I started this podcast because I like things and I like stories. I will probably be punished for liking things this much some when I die. I don't know, but...
Or you'll get paid. It could go either way.
You know, I like that option better, definitely. But yeah, I'm ready to hear the story. What happened? What did you do? What's the fuck up?
Oh my gosh. Do you know when you're like, oh, you're just supposed to talk about a fuck up in your life? I was like, bruh, where do I even start? Because life has been chaotic, and chaos that I may have contributed to in one way or another. So when you're like, oh, just talk about any fuck up, I was like, my God, wait, which one? Where do we, like, which
options, baby? You got options.
I got you. But the first thing that came to mind was when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. And we had just recently, because we moved to South Africa in 2012. And right. That's like when I was like maybe like 4 or 3, I think. Yeah. So we moved here and I got into grade 10. And at this point, I was dating a guy who was in 7. And it just so happened that the year we moved here, that's the year he was going to, you know, MGI Midrand? So that's where he was going. Well, okay. There's an institute called MGI, so that's where he was going. And, you know, it was like, okay, then we started the relationship and everything. Honestly, it was doomed from the start. I will not lie.
Why?
Because he at the time he well, I guess it applies now, but he was one of my closest friends from high school. He was her ex, and so yes, lack of judgment. I know. Throw the judgment.
Yikes.
Throw it. Throw it. I know. So yeah, he was my friend's ex at the time. So to be fair, I don't know why I got into a relationship with him. I don't even know how it started. All I know is I felt like, okay, I really like this guy. I guess we're in love and all these things. But you know, in hindsight, when you kind of look at everything, you're like, what the hell was I thinking? But anyways, so we start dating, and at this point, I'm very much a virgin. So I'm sure you know where the story is going. I lost my virginity to him,
Oh
and
no.
it was a very roller coaster relationship. Because this was also at a time when, as a family, my parents, well, all of us, I guess, we were sort of, I call it a cult, because that's exactly where it was. So these evangelical churches from Zim, I won't mention names, but we were attending one of those churches. So it was like very, here I am dating this guy. It was actually just out of pure mischief, to be fair. So we were dating. It was cool. It was fine. But the proper fuck up was not only was he my friend's ex and I decided to date him. Thank God I am not the same person I was all those many years ago. But the major fuck up was at this really white school. It's called Woodlands International College. It was in Augsburg. And I just decided to bunk school and go see him, right? And so the fuck up is that, yeah, I bunk school, but also now chaos started when now I'm on my way back because I took a whole cab to MGI, me, a little 16-year-old. At this point, I'm 16. I took a whole cab, and that was like 400 rand at the time, right? Which is a lot of
Girl,
money for a 16-year-old, I won't lie. Listen.
where did you get the
Saved. I literally, because this we had been having this conversation for a long time. He kept saying, "Oh, come see me, come see me." At the time, you know, of course you're thinking, but why can't you come see me? I mean, you're in varsity. You probably have way more money than I do to be able to, like, you know, move
Pause.
around and stuff like that.
Pause, ma'am. You were 16 and this guy was in college, in varsity.
He was 18. Yeah, he was 18. Yes. Like I
Okay.
said, it was red flags from the
2 year
it was red
difference is
flags from the
not that
beginning.
bad.
It's not that bad, but also he's 18. I mean, come on. Like, he knew better and he was in varsity. So anyway, so yeah, I saved up. I got a whole 400 rand. So this was like 400 rand one way. And return, he's the one who had to pay for me. Yeah, so that's like 800 rand in total. So if like the distance between Boxburg and Midrand, it's not close.
I
So
know that,
that was
but
a
I'm like,
blessing.
girl, you should have stayed your ass home.
I should have been in school, friend. I should have been in school at this time. But yeah, so I get in this cab. I got to school and everything. So you get like these leave of absence forms, right? They're just supposed to get signed off, right? And it's supposed to be like a very valid reason, like, oh, I'm not going to be in school for God knows what, whatever reason. I don't even remember what I said, to be fair. But I think there was like suspicion on, I think it was the receptionist at our principal's office, right? Because I think she could kind of sense that something was off, because I had never bunked school ever in my life. So anyway, yeah, I got to school. I got my leave of absence form. I changed. I had my little mini dress. I look cute for my man, because you know that's just what you do.
Yes, baby.
And and the cab guy was ready. It was early in the morning. It was like 8 a.m. And the cab driver's ready there, ready for me. I got into my cab and we went to Midrand. And on the way back now, something in my, I don't know if you want to call it intuition, something in my spirit was just not settled. Something was just like, okay, something's not right. I may be in trouble. I didn't know, right? Of course, as we approached the school, I definitely was in trouble. Like my mom was there waiting, my dad was there, my brothers were there, because they had been called by one of the guards. Because guards, they notice everything. So I think one of the guards actually called, went to like the principal's office and said, "There's a school child who left in a cab or whatever." So I got, as we were approaching the school, I could see all our cars from home. I could see everybody, and I was
Girl.
like, shit. Shit. I
Ain't nothing you could say to get out of this one. Like, what do you
There's,
even
oh,
say?
absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. I just sat there and I was like, you know what? Let me face my fate. And I got out of the car. My mom was screaming. She was like throwing punches and slaps, not at me necessarily, but like at the cab driver, because he was in trouble. They were like, "Why are you driving a 16-year-old and to go to Midrand and to a varsity with boys and all these things?" It was a whole thing. It was a whole thing. The worst part is, I think, yeah, it was like a soccer practice day, so like there were guys who were playing soccer at the field across where all this is going down, and they're right across
Oh
me. Because
no.
like I got back at like, I think that was like 4 or 5 p.m. Imagine, from 8 a.m. That's a whole work day. It was chaotic. It was terrible. I think back now and I'm even like, but what on earth were you thinking? It was bad. My history and geo teacher, they were there as well, because they coached soccer. So it was just, it was a mess. Pal, it was a mess. Point is, that is probably my biggest, like, that's the fuck up I think about. And I don't really regret things often, but that on its own, the entirety, that whole relationship, everything, I regret it from start to finish. I'm just like, this is horrible. I don't know what I was thinking. But yeah, that's my
So,
fuck up.
you date this guy who's your friend's ex. So, did this fuck up the relationship between you and your friend as well? Was she like, girl, how you gonna do that?
We never actually spoke about it, because it's almost like I left Sim and everything to do with it. So to this day, we never really spoke about it. But we still like we're still cool. Like there's no bad blood or anything. But I personally, I just really, I really, really felt bad. And so when that ended with him, I just kind of hit her up. I was just like, I won't mention his name or her name, but I just kind of hit her up. I was like, I know I was dating him. I'm really sorry. I don't know how that happened. And, I really explained my piece. And she was just like, no, I get it. Because she also understood what, not where I was coming from per se, but I guess the small events that happened in my life, if you want to say it, that led me to make such a decision. So she was really understanding in that case. She was just like, you know what, I'm really sorry. And also she was just like, that guy's, he's got slightly predatory behavior, so like it's okay. She was really that, and that's just it. That was the conversation we had. And she was just like, no, I get it, it's fine. I don't hate you or anything. It's just, it wasn't great, but it's not like I hate you or anything.
Well,
So yeah,
basically,
that's how it went down.
it is what
It is what it is. But yeah, that was a proper fuck up. And you think back to these things and like, but why? First of all, why are you even dating your friend's ex? Secondly, you lose your virginity to him. You bunk school because of him. All these, it was just a mess. The guy, a mess, a mess, a mess from start to
Girl.
finish. Just
It was a miss. But I'm gonna have you. I wanna talk to you about something.
sure.
Let's talk about this whole idea of whoever your friend dates is off limits. The girl code. Is that a thing for you? Like, do you think it's a sensible thing to do? Like, what happens if your ex is actually your friend's soulmate? And will you bar them from being together if they look happy together?
Guys, this conversation has been going on for a while, and I cannot reconcile with that, because I think control yourself. As a friend, have some self-control. Do you know what I mean? I think to the point where you find your friend's ex attractive and you actually want to pursue something, that's a very hectic thing happening. Because I mean, what happens if you guys actually get into a very serious relationship or and maybe get married? What's happening there? Because for sure your relationship with your friend is never ever going to be the same. Yeah, and so for me, I think that's something I wouldn't do. I did it when I was 16, never again. But yeah, because I just, it's just, it's not nice. And like, chances are, things ended on a bad note between your friend and that ex. So now for you to bring that ex into your friend's space with the claim that you're in love and you might be soulmates and all these things. I don't know, man. It's very tricky because, yes, granted, you have no control over who you love and who you have feelings for. But I think
But
you can try. You can try and
what
have some
if
control.
you broke up with this person? Like there was no fight. You were just two people who sat down and said, listen, you and I aren't working together because of ABC, and you both agree. Yes, there's always heartbreak because, okay, you've been with this person. You're going to have to go through the healing process. But it wasn't anything messy. This person wasn't abusive to you. They didn't cheat on you. They were nice to you, but like they were just things that weren't working for the two of you. And you go your separate ways nicely. And then it just so happens that they have a better bond with your friend. It's still a no for you?
Man, I don't know. I don't know. See, I don't think so. I think for me, I might have some sort of understanding because here's the thing. I don't have a single ex I can say that we have any. So I think that yeah, the situation you're describing, I might fit into because I've never really had any sort of like hectic breakups where it's like I'm blocking you and I never want to talk to you again and things like that. I feel like with every guy I've dated, we're okay. Like this is not to say I need like a badge for maturity or anything, but we definitely don't have any. Like I'm not. There's no spice. There is no bad blood. There's none of that happening. So if any of my friends is still gum, I'm interested in dating, whoever. It might take me a minute. I won't lie. It will take me a minute to like come to terms with the fact that okay, my friend and my ex are together. I might be fine with it after some time. And mainly because I think when I break up or when I let go of things, I let go completely. So I definitely, yeah, for me, I let go. Like when I say I'm done, I'm done. So if you come to me and you say, Gamo, I really fancy whoever and I'd like to date them, it might feel a bit weird for me at first, but I think I'll be like, okay, you know what? Okay, just sure, go ahead. That's me. But of course, not everyone is like that. Many people are just like, no, absolutely not. My ex is off limits. And that's you. I think it's very subjective, but me on a personal level, it's look like, okay, if you guys think you're in love, I will not stand in the way of true love. You can do whatever you feel like you need to do. And you know what? What if it works out? What if, like I said, what if you guys decide to get married and start a family? Yeah, I have no problems with it because, but unless it's a case where I actually still have feelings for this ex, then that's different. But I would assume that's something you communicate with your friends, right? If it's an ex or if there's any ex that you still like, that's definitely something your friends should know about. But yeah, if no, on for me, if I've let go of someone, they're gone. And if you feel like you want them, then you know what, by all means, let yourself out.
I think I feel the same. If the person was kind and there was like nothing that would worry me, then I think I'm good with it. But like if it's someone who was abusive to me, I'm like, yeah, girl, but like why would you want to be with someone who's abusive? I would definitely be worried about that. I would try to protect you, but if you are stubborn and want to go ahead, then go ahead. And if I still have feelings for them, please stay away from them. Thank you.
Exactly. I think it's something you would communicate with your friends, like to say that, yo, you should know that if this person was abusive, this person treated me this way, because obviously that's your friend. And so things like this you talk about. You know, as girls, we sit down, we talk, we're like, ah, friend, you won't believe what this guy did to me. So I think in the case that I've told, yeah, so I think in the case where I've told you where this nigga had me fucked up, but you're proceeding to go into a relationship with him, then I think that's up to you. That's for you guys to sort between the two of you. Because also, because I think there's something very sinister as well. If you're to hook up with someone who you know hurt me in a certain way, who you know sent me into some sort of mental, yeah, who you know sent me into some sort of mental exhaustion or, you know, trauma, anything like that, I think that I went into deep depression because of this guy. If you know that this person did ABC to me, and you feel like, I have, you know, hard eyes, and I'm so in love with him, and I want to do this. I think there's so many things to consider in things like this. You know what I mean? There are too many little intricate details that would probably set someone off if you started dating their ex and you guys are friends. So I think, yeah, I think for me, it's definitely subjective, but I think there's so many details covered. Because, I mean, imagine, like, you were with me holding my hand, and we were binge watching rom-coms because I was heartbroken and depressed about this guy.
Imagine that.
You know what I mean? And now here you are, like, even if it's like a year later, and being like, oh sis, guess what? I'm talking to whoever. And it's like, wow, really? You know? So I think there's so many things to consider.
Like, there's people who be like, yeah, so I'm talking to whoever. And then the people will pop up like, yeah, I'm pregnant for whoever. And then you're like,
Oh
excuse
my
me, ma'am. Excuse
God.
me. But like, what?
A whole pregnancy, a whole baby. No. See, I don't even know how I would handle that. I think there has to be some sort of clarity and openness to things like this, because you are well aware of what this person did to me, and you know the sort of feelings I had or have for them. So, and I've been hearing these conversations, especially on like Twitter spaces. So here's the thing. So even if your friend is to come to you and say, "Yo, Buhle, I really I'm attracted to Denzel, let's just say, and I'd really like to, yeah, and you know, I just want to hear what you think about that." There's that attract. You don't know how deep your friend's attraction for your ex goes. Do you know what I mean? So you don't know if they're attracted to your ex to the point of ignoring your permission or lack of, and just proceeding with what their vagina or their heart is telling them.
Mostly the vagina,
So
girl. It's mostly
mostly the
the
egg, mostly
vagina.
vagina, mostly the vagina, girl. So that's my thing. You don't know how deep this attraction that your friend has for your ex goes. So they might feel like, okay, she said no, but I'm still horny and I still find this guy attractive. So we're still gonna do what needs to be done regardless of your feelings. And so that's the thing for me, because many people are just like, oh yeah, but I feel like you need to be open and speak to your friend. And my thing is that changes nothing. Like, if your friend is coming to you saying they're attracted to your ex, that attraction doesn't go away because you said no. It does not go away. They're not going to suddenly have some sort of moral compass because you said no. Do you know what I mean? So I think that's the thing for me when it comes to dating your friend's ex. I think there are so many things to consider, but I think at the same time, it doesn't matter how much openness is there. It doesn't matter if your friend said yes or no. At the end of the day, the people involved, if they want to do what needs to be done, they will do it regardless of how you feel. Your feelings are almost secondary or nothing. You know what I mean? Like, these are two grown consenting adults. And even if your friend comes to ask for your permission, who are you to know whether or not they proceed with it? Do you know what I mean?
I mean, I've been there, and I think the difference is I had kind of picked up on it because they were hanging out a lot. And you know, when people take photos, there's like a glow in those photos that's like, this is more than free. Like, there's something happening. But I didn't ask because I was like, if there is something, they're going to have some, one of them is going to have to say something. Because I was also cool with the ex. I didn't have any bad blood with him, or whatever. But I was like, they're going, one of them is going to have to say something. And then my friend finally came out like, well, this is what's kind of happening, and I really, really like him. And
Oh, wait, how long after though?
girl. Leave that
Oh.
alone. Oh,
My goodness.
yeah. Well,
That tells me everything I need to
yeah,
know.
you know.
Tells me everything I need to know.
So she says, yeah, I really like him, and I'm asking for your permission to go ahead and be with him. And I say, well, if you're happy, go ahead. Because I think by then I had accepted that it is what it is, because I had seen it already. And I was like, it doesn't, at this point, it doesn't matter what I say. It is what it is. And I think as the relationship went on, what then started to happen was it started to kind of affect our friendship, because whilst I was very cool with what was happening, then she started getting uncomfortable. So like, we'd go out maybe for lunch, and the normal thing was we'd sit across each other and order our food and talk. Like, we would tear things apart. But now we would go for lunch and we'd sit across each other, and I'd be like, so how are you? She'd be like, fine, and go back to her phone. Oh, okay, so how's your boyfriend? He's fine. And she'd go back to her phone. I'm like, what the hell is happening right now? You know? And then one day I was like, no, something weird is going on. Like, what is your story? And she's like, I kind of feel weird about having conversations about you, about me and, you know, my boyfriend, because, you know, he's your ex. And I'm like, but I thought I said I'm good with it, you know? So if you want to tell me whatever you want to tell me about your relationship, whether he has bought you roses or he's taking you on vacation, whatever it is, I don't have a problem with it. It doesn't have to
But
affect
see,
our friendship.
someone is always going to be uncomfortable at some point because even if you're cool with it, she's probably going to act weird or he is going to act weird, right? Because I know people always saying like, "Oh, we experience people differently." But it is a hell of a ride, I can imagine. If you say you're cool with your friend dating your ex, and you know, and they know how this ex treated you, and suddenly when this ex is with them, they're getting everything that you were asking your ex for, right? And it's like, you know, if you wanted communication, if you wanted to be bought roses, if you wanted to be taken on vacation, if you wanted to meet the parents, suddenly your friend is getting all these things that you were lacking from your ex when you guys were together. And there's, you know, it's never ever going to be easy. It's never going to be smooth sailing because I think either way, whether or not you like it, whether or not you are comfortable or uncomfortable with it, someone is going to feel some sort of way at some point. Someone will make it feel weird. Someone will make it awkward. Even the guy, he might decide to just be weird about things. You know what I mean? So I think it's something that, as much as people would want to practice some sort of maturity and be okay with, it's I don't think it's always going to be even because someone's going to make things weird at some point, I feel. Yeah, that's my thing with this thing.
Well, I guess I have to say to whoever's listening at this point, hit me up on Twitter and let me know what you think about this whole entire thing of dating your ex, your friend's ex, rather. So let me go back to your story. I've completely diverted our conversation.
We're unpacking.
Where you that we are. So you get back and your mom's fuming. Obviously, your entire family's fuming. And I'm sure the angels from the cult were mad as well. So what happened? Actually, before I ask that question, is this the day that you lost your virginity when you went all the way to Madrid?
No,
Oh,
you
thank God.
know, this was this was so I had lost my virginity to him way before that.
Oh, wait,
Way before something that I also got into trouble for. When I say this guy was trouble from the beginning, I mean it. Like I mean it. I mean he was just it felt like a spirit and a very evil entity that was moving through my life. I'm not even joking. I am not even joking. So okay, let's take a step back. So when I lost my virginity to him when we took a trip to Zim, and he was also in Zim at the time, and he invited me to his place. Wasn't his place, it was his friend's place. So yeah, I get there and we started drinking, and before I know it, that is happening. So that I
Gamu,
got in trouble
pause.
for as well.
You got in trouble for going to Midran when you were 16, but you just said this was long
Yes.
before. How old were you then?
15. I was 15.
Oh God.
I was 15.
I want to
It
fight
was
this man.
a nightmare. It was when I tell you this guy was disastrous, I'm not joking. I'm not holding anything back. It was a nightmare. I was steadily 15 when I lost my virginity. It was bad. I wish I'd waited. I wish it wasn't him. So many things I regretted. Like I said, I don't often regret things in life, if anything, and that's the one thing in my life that I'm like, why did that happen? But
Do
yeah,
you
I lost
feel
my virginity
like,
to him when I was
I mean, we can blame it on the alcohol,
15.
but do you feel like at 15, the reason why you went ahead and lost your virginity was there any peer pressure around you? Where, because I know by then people are starting to talk about sex and girls are starting to lie about sex and some are actually having sex. Do you feel like there was a little bit of pressure around you so you could go back also and be like to your friends, yo, man, I'm in the zone. I did the things.
I'll say I felt quote unquote pressure from him himself, but also from so there was a chick that we stayed with at home who was my mom's friend's daughter. And she had lost her virginity. She was like 2 years older than me, so she was always like telling me about stuff and all these things. So I guess you could say I felt pressure from that, but also from him because he's much older again, and you know he's talking about all these things, and he's talking about loving me and wanting to go all the way with me and all these things. And also at the back of my mind, I'm thinking, okay, if he is going to college, I'm not going to be able to compete with the girls in college because I'm still in high school, you know. So that there was like it was layered for me. It was definitely layered. And also there's a whole idea that we were part of a cult, and you know I'm a very rebellious person in nature. So there was also that at play where I felt like I'm also caged in by the church
Well,
and
the
by my
church, you're right.
parents. Yeah, and so it was very layered for me, I would say. So it wasn't just one thing, it was a bunch of things that led me to actually do all of that. Plus the alcohol, of course, on the day. I remember very well. It was like whiskey. Yeah, it
Girl,
was bad.
ma'am.
It was whiskey in my 15-year-old liver. Imagine.
At my
Imagine.
big age, I cannot handle whiskey, and you were 15 downing whiskey?
Downing whiskey, yeah. So the day I actually we did that, I went back home and I obviously told this girl that we're with, because she was in Zim with us as well. And she went and told my mom.
Why would she do that?
Honestly, I don't know. I think she, listen, there was just so much going on during that time. I think it was a lot for her. I think maybe, I don't want to say jealousy, but it could have been that, because I always kind of felt like she was sort of jealous of me and the life I had and all, because her mom was like a single mom. And so the reason why she came to live with us, because her mom stayed in Zim and she came to live with us in SA. And so it would help her with like my parents like paid her way through school. You know, so I think for her it was more like a jealousy thing where she didn't have anyone else. She didn't have like that sort of structure. And so that's just what came to mind when I actually eventually found out that she's the one who, because she went and told her mom. Her mom told my mom. That's how it happened.
Oh, she knew what she was doing. Oh.
She
Oh my
exactly. She
God.
knew what she was doing. She knew what she was doing. So for me, it was like, well, that's really in bad taste. And
That's
also like how,
sneaky.
Like, why would you do that when I trust you? And I felt like, because at some point she kind of felt like a sister to me because we're really close. And so, yeah, she went and told her mom, who told my mom, got into trouble for that. I mean, to the point where they're calling the church, the church pastor's wife to speak to
Yo,
me.
way.
Yeah, it was. It was a disaster, man. It was
Wild.
horrible. It was horrible, horrible, horrible. So that's how it happened. So yeah, that's how the losing my virginity part happened with him, and you know, getting the church involved and all these things. I had my phone taken away. My mom threatened to cut my hair. She didn't eventually. But it was a mess. It was a mess. So then that happened. So now imagine that happening, and then like a year or so later, the bunking school incident happened. So this guy was just he was a mess. He was entirely just terrible. Yeah, it was a disastrous, I must say. But I felt like, you know, when like the bunking school incident happened, I felt like, okay, this is definitely the last straw for me, because I remember just feeling bad. I felt like, okay, so what was the point? You paid for your own cab, one. You went there and you didn't even have great sex. Can I tell you, this guy never made me orgasm once. I had no idea what that
Oh,
was. I had no idea what that was. So I remember being with my friends at school this side. And you know, I remember all the girls are talking about like DJing, right? And I'm like, what the hell is DJing? Like, what are you talking about?
what is this thing you speak of?
Hey, yeah, like this DJing thing. I was like, what is that, right? So then eventually, like, my one friend pulls me aside. She's like, Gamma, you don't know DJing? She's like, when you play with your clit. I'm like, okay, first of all, what is a clit?
Oh, girl, you didn't even know where it was. You couldn't
I
find
had
it.
no. Girl, I didn't know nothing. When I tell you, I knew nothing. I knew nothing. I knew nothing. So she's like, told me, she's like, I'm a DJ. I was like, what is that? She's like, you don't play with your clit. I was like, what is that? So then I go home, and she's actually the one who made me discover porn, the great amazing ways in which porn can help you, but also made me, you know, I guess take that step into finding my own clit and actually having an orgasm. So I remember I went home, I played some porn, and I could see women rubbing this thing, and I'm like, what is this thing that women keep rubbing? So I also started rubbing my own clit, and I was like, whoa, okay, this
So it's
is
supposed to feel like that, huh?
it's ex exactly. I was like, well, damn. I was like, well, I've been missing out. And immediately I broke up with this guy because I was like, you have been wasting my fucking time. You have been wasting my time. I promise. I was like, this is, yeah, I don't need you anymore. And I never turned back. I was like, I think finding my clit was definitely my revolutionary moment for me. It like put me, it placed me into my politics. I don't know how to explain it. It was a big moment for me. It was very important. But yeah, that's what bunking school led to, basically.
So, you found your clit after going to see
After
this
that,
guy, or how long after
how long
you
after
had gotten in
you
trouble for bunking school?
So I'd say maybe like a month or two. Yeah, maybe like 2 months, I'll place it. It was definitely, yeah, I'd say maybe at 2 months, that's when. I remember like the girls were just talking. It was like we had this little bench under the tree that we'd all go to and like just sit and talk. And so that's what the conversation was, because you know, I was the youngest amongst everyone. Everyone was like 18 by and I was 17, because obviously I came from Zim, and you know, I had to join a grade. And so they couldn't decide, okay, do we put her in grade 9 or do we put her in grade 10? Because it's like, okay, she can't be in grade 9 because she's ahead of grade 9s. So they put me in grade 10, and I was immediately the youngest out of everyone else. So I was like 15 in grade, yeah, I was 15 in grade 10, and everyone was already 16. So they definitely already had like a jump start to many things that I just had no clue about or no interest, if you want to say. So yeah, I'd say after the bunking incident, it was like 2 months after that. And this is girls who had already like gone further. They'd already like given head and done all these things, and I just didn't know what they were talking about. I just especially like the rubbing the clit thing, I just had no clue, no
I
clue.
mean, at 16, I figured out what my clit does, but I also had no idea what head was or like what I was supposed to do. I think at that point, I found it very disgusting. Like, why are you putting someone else's in your, why are we doing
Yeah. I mean, kudos to everyone who had an idea of what they were doing at 16. I just had no clue. I didn't know what was going on. So yeah, it was 2 months after that. I went home and I played some porn. I played with my clit, and honestly, something in my mind just awakened, and I just, I became a whole different being, because I was like, I broke up with the, people always say I'm joking when I broke up with him the very next day. I sent him a message and I was like, I don't think this is working out. I recently found my kid and you ain't shit. Okay, don't say that. But
I wish you had. With all my
I
heart and
mean,
soul, I wish you had said that.
I should have, but that's how that went down. And honestly, it's, I am so glad I did that, and I owe everything to my friend Yasmin. If you're listening to this, shout out to you. Her name is Yasmin. She's the one who was just like, "Gummy, you don't DJ. You should DJ." And thank God I did, because the DJ made me fall in love, child.
So, what does this non-orgasm giving predator say to you after you break up with him?
He was distraught. I remember receiving, he bought me like perfume. I got like, I remember it was like the Versace yellow diamond. He got me this Gucci Guilty. He got me a pair of shoes. He wrote me like a 3-page letter. He was very like sad and really wanted to get me back. But I was just really uninterested. I was just like, no, I'm really past this, hey? Like, I'm not, this is never gonna work out. And I have no interest whatsoever. So yeah, he was sad. And I think he's still sorry to this day, because you know what, now that we're speaking, I just remembered he followed me this week on Instagram.
Oh God.
Oh
It's
God.
like he knew he was about to be spoken about. He's like, I'm
Exactly.
gonna step right
Honestly,
in.
he followed me this week on Instagram, and I think that's also partly of the reason why I was like, you know what, let me talk about this nigga. So yeah, I think he's still very much sorry, and because he even DM'd me, he's like, oh, I miss you, things like that. I'm like, bro, this, like, how many
We're
years
in
later now?
2021, child.
Yeah, like, we're not
Relax.
doing that. We're not doing that. So yeah, he's, I don't even know about his life. I don't care. I just, like I said, when I drop people, I drop them, like, entirely. So yeah, me and him are done. I have no interest whatsoever in, like, rebuilding any relationship with him, nada.
Well, this was an interesting story to listen to. Firstly, I just realized that I'm definitely dating wrong people. Nobody, I've never broken up with anybody and they bought me so many things. Not to mention them being big labels
I can
too.
send him, I'll send him your handles. He can hit you up. That he's a
Girl,
hoe. He's a
I would
nobody
like
DM.
some orgasms in this lifetime. Please.
Yeah, you don't need this mess. Trust me, you don't need this in your life.
Oh
You
God.
don't need
So
that.
I think a lot of young people, are definitely within the sex. And I was having a conversation with a friend the other day and I was like, we can say what we want, right? We can say on Twitter, stop giving kids condoms, but the reality is that they're having sex. So why aren't we just teaching them or
Exactly.
giving them
No,
the
you're
right tools
right.
to have like safe sex, because we never had that. And as a result of that,
Exactly.
there's a lot of people who end up have getting pregnant and not having access to abortion and then being mothers at 15 and 16, which
Yeah.
is not the greatest thing when you're still a child. You have no idea what you're doing, and it robs you of so much of your teenagehood, of your childhood. And with that said, I would I don't think I would want my children to be having sex at 15 or 16 because they literally have no idea what they're getting themselves into. They don't know what they're doing. It's more than just the orgasms, you know?
Definitely. I think the conversation is definitely more about, because like I'm telling you, I think that's what also made me, you know, the very outspoken person I am about women's sexual health and sexual liberation and stuff. Because, you know, if you're raised with people who are very strong in, you know, the whole Christianity thing, and being raised that way, when you're told don't have sex, sex causes babies, you know, boys are bad and things like that, that's not doing what you think it's doing in a girl's mind. Because mm-hmm. everyone else around me is so excitable around about sex, and the fact that it's just such a hush-hush topic, it's not going to make me lose interest. In fact, it's going to make me be more interested in finding out what the sex thing is, you know? So I think that's where I found myself at 15, where I'm like, I'm being ruled with an iron fist here, and I would really like to explore boys and relationships. Mm-hmm. And I don't think parents realize that when you tell your kids, like, no, okay, like, for example, if you tell a 5 year old, or five is too old, if you tell a 3 year old, don't touch that, what are they going to do? They're going to want to touch it.
Definitely
that,
touching, right? It.
Because mm-hmm. at some point, something, exactly, something in their mind is triggered when you tell them, no, don't do it. They're going to say, in their mind, they're going to think, why? I want to find out why I'm being told not to touch this thing. And so that's exactly what, you know, that psychology applies as well when it comes to sex. If you tell your child, don't do it, you fall pregnant, boys are bad, blah, 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 I'm not going to lose interest in it. In fact, I'm going to be more interested in it. I'm going to want to find out what that sex thing is, what it does. You know, it's not going to stop anything. And also, we forget the little thing called biology, guys. It is very normal for people going through their adolescence, you know, going through puberty, to have a peaked interest in their body, and to have a peaked interest in, you know, the things that are happening around teenagehood. So, I mean, look, I'm even telling you that at school, people are sitting under the tree during break time or after school, discussing sex, discussing boys. These are things that are happening. These are conversations that your child is having. So I think it would be very stupid for you to think that your child is not doing it simply because you tell them not to, and you send them to church. You know, it's not doing what you think it's doing. And I think you should absolutely give kids contraceptives or contraceptive methods, because mm-hmm. You know, we're not stupid. Kids are not stupid. They're going to be interested in this thing. They're going to have sex. Yes, your 15, 16, 17, 18 year old child might be having sex. Not that they are, but they might be. And so I think the responsible thing for you to do as a parent is to kind of go ahead of that, right? And you can't start sexual health conversations with your child when they're 15, when they've reached that stage, because you're a bit too late, unfortunately. I think these are conversations that you start bit by bit when they're kind of growing up. So it's like, okay, when they like turn 12, it's like, do you have a boyfriend? Do you have a girlfriend? Are you interested in anyone? Because you uh-huh. want to be able to know, because you want to know also where their head is at. Because so around like that 12-year-old age, right, that's like when people are interested in like kissing or hugging a boy, right?
Yes.
So have So you started slow. So have conversations about kissing boys at that point, and then you grow slowly into, okay, hugging, and okay, you're going to, I don't know what else, groping or things like that. So I think it's the responsible parent, you need to be able to gauge where you think your child is at mentally and where their curiosity is. But telling them don't do it because it's bad, that's not going to do anything, if at all, I think.
It's not enough. It's definitely not enough. I've had conversations with 12-year-olds telling me that they've had sex with 16-year-olds, with 18-year-olds. And mm-hmm. that's when you realize, oh, we're waiting for 18, for 16. We're definitely being slow with this entire thing. But with all this knowledge that we have, actually, I really want to talk about the church and the way that they threaten people and think that the threats will work. This thing of, if you do this, you're going to hell. Okay, then, we're already in hell, so cool. Thank you. But with the knowledge that we have now, what would you say to, let's say, to 12-year-olds right up to 18 when it comes to sex? What are the top three things that you would tell them?
I would say one, ask questions. Even if you're not comfortable asking your parent or your guardian, ask someone you trust who is much older. Ask questions to someone who seems responsible. Be curious, right? But don't be curious with actions, be curious with questions. So do ask, like, what is that? What is this? What does it do? Because I for sure know that what I lacked in my life was just having someone tell me or someone to ask about anything. So even discharge coming out of my vagina, I would have loved to know. You know, I would have really loved to be told that, okay, Gamu, when it's green or when it's yellow, when it's brown, when it's this, this is what it means, what you do. You know what I mean? I would have loved to have someone talk to about that.
Before having a
Secondly, I'm
panic attack.
before having a panic attack, exactly, and thinking you're dying or something. Or even if you're not having a panic attack, just thinking that something is wrong with you. But secondly, I'd also say wait. At the point that you do think you know stuff, wait, just wait. There is no rush. These boys are not going anywhere, neither are these girls. No one's going anywhere, neither are you. Just wait. There's no need to rush any of these things. There's no need to be having sex as 12 years old. Just wait it out. So that's my second one. Thirdly, I would say, you know what? Find things out. I feel like do your own research. So as much as you can be curious enough to ask someone, but I think the third most important thing for me is, you know what, do your own research. When you've asked your questions, when you've waited, do your research. So find out things. So for example, there's no reason why I should be 15 or 16 and not know what a clitoris is. There's no need.
There's no
Yeah.
need.
Do your own research. There's so much material out there that you can find out, that you can consume for yourself. Find out what you need to find out, even if it's about kissing, even if it's about periods, if it's about sex, whatever it is that's going on that you need to know, that's what I would say. Just do your own research. So I think, yeah, have a curiosity, ask people questions, wait, but also do your own research. I think that for me are the topmost three things that I would have loved to have been told by anyone at between 12 and 16. Because listen, unfortunately, sexual health or sexual education that's been taught in schools is not it. Biology does fuck all. But biology just tells you you have a vagina, you bleed, you give birth, you have boobs, end of.
And that's
They're
it.
not telling you anything past that. They're not telling you anything past that. And even we had life orientation in schools. Even then, they're not really telling you much. Do you know what I mean? Most of the things that I know now, where I am today, is because I did my own research. Is because of like people I follow, books I've read, classes I attended, or lectures or something. It's not because someone taught me these things when I was 16, which is weird because I feel like that's the most important age. Or rather, that entire age group, right? That's such an important stage in anyone's growth. And I think we need to take more advantage of teaching people mindfully about their own sexual education and their own sexual health. So yeah, I think those are definitely my top threes. I would have loved for someone to just have told me that when I was younger. But you know, there's a lot that can be blamed on the education system in Zim and South Africa. And this whole pe teaching people using religion is it's not working. It doesn't work. So yeah, that's me.
Thank you for those. Those are very, very good points. And we're way past our time, but there's something that I actually want to ask, which is, do
Okay.
you think that we are better off teaching kids to masturbate than to actually practice? I mean, masturbation is sex, but like, do you think it's better off teaching them that form of sex than the one that includes a whole partner in it?
I think in the same way, right, that you get, I think, okay, here's how I feel about masturbation to kids. I feel like Masturbation is always almost accepted for boys in their teenagehood because it's expected. It's like, oh yeah, boys when they're like 13 or 14 or whatever, they will masturbate. So it's almost expected in that sense, even though people won't really talk about it, but you know it's a thing. And I feel like the same is not awarded for women. Like, so you won't, or for girls rather, at that age. So you won't get anyone talking about, using vibrators or dildos. Granted, I will probably have a heart attack if my 16, 15-year-old daughter had a vibrator or any sort of sex toy. That wouldn't go too well with me. But I do feel like you need to definitely teach girls and boys to teach teenagers rather to be able to know their body and to love their body first, I'd say. So even if you don't want to masturbate or you don't want to go all the way with yourself, but I feel like that element is missing from sexual health for teenagers. That essence of self-love in terms of sexuality is missing because I think for the most part, sexual health is always taught at the gaze of the audience. So it's like, okay, if you're a guy, your gaze is supposedly female, right? And so everything you do, and so sexual health is taught like, oh, if a girl sees this, they'll like it on you, or if a guy sees this on you, they'll like it. No one is teaching that. No, if you see it on yourself and you like it on yourself and you feel it on yourself, no one is taught about the self. It's always about, the others. It's always about the people looking at you. It's always about heterosexuality, unfortunately. It's always taught from that perspective. So I don't think I'm entirely okay with promoting the essence of masturbation, especially, like I said, I would faint probably if my 14-year-old child had a dildo. I'm not even lying. I don't know if people feel the same way. That would definitely make me glitch a bit. But I think you definitely need to teach it from an angle of know your body. So know what your vagina looks like. Know where your clit is. Know what it does. So like for me, like I said, I was like 16 maybe I was 16 when the girls were talking about, oh, Gummy, you should DJ, right? And then I went and DJed and I had the time of my life. And so I think it should come in phases. Some of these things should come. There's things that you say when you're like preteen, early teen, and then there's things that you say when someone is like towards the end of their teenagehood years. So that 16, 17, 18 stage, you're having a different conversation with them because these are not people who don't know what you're talking about. They are fully aware that, okay, sex brings a baby, sex is nice, sex does this. 14, 13, 14-year-olds might know that, but they don't know the intricacies of it. So I think for me, I think, yeah, I'll just say from that angle where I think I would wish that sexual health is taught more from the self and, how to love yourself, to know yourself, to please yourself, how to know what pleases you in return as well. So yeah, I think I'll put it that way. But masturbation is important, but just for a different time. I would not promote masturbation at like 13, 14. Definitely not, no.
Well, I hear you. I think, like, I was thinking the entire time we were talking about, what would I want for my child? Would I rather they be sleeping with somebody else, or would I rather they be masturbating in my house?
You'd definitely rather they be masturbating. But here is the thing, right? I think what we tend to forget about masturbation is, I think it operates differently psychologically depending on how old you are. So like right now at this age, you're able to like just masturbate and go about your day, and you get your postnatal clarity and what, and you have, whatever it is that masturbation gives you're fine. But let's not forget that these teenagers are still having to develop their brains. And so masturbation at such a young age is not going to do what it does when you're 30 or when you're 25. When you're 14, 15 masturbating, you are masturbating with someone in mind, most probably. Or you're masturbating with the intention of eventually having someone else to do it with. That's the whole, I think that's the whole essence of it. And when you're that age, I would say it might be a reach, but I think psychologically there's different things at play when you're masturbating at 14, 15 years old. So even if you're a guy, you're masturbating with a girl in mind, or because you had a weird dream about a girl, or God knows what else. If you're at that age, you're a girl, you're masturbating, you're probably also thinking about a certain guy. So eventually, I feel like even if your child is masturbating, they're going to want to do it with someone real time. They're going to want to feel it real time. They're going to want to do it with an actual person. So I don't know, man. I think for me, it's sexual education, sexual health is something that should come in stages where you're able to know where your child is at. But I think promoting masturbation as opposed to promoting sex with someone else, it might work, but I think it'll work for when you're much later in your teens. I would be fine with it. Yeah, but if it's earlier, that wouldn't go so well. I
Well,
don't know.
before I ask my next actual last question, I do want to put it out there. If you are like into sex education or whatever, please also engage us in this conversation. Let us know if
Please.
what works better here, because I'm just talking, just imagining. I think I would prefer my child masturbating than having sex with somebody else. But there's also the issue of getting addicted, and it's a whole mess altogether.
Exactly.
Yeah,
See, yeah.
getting addicted to porn, getting addicted to the masturbation itself. I don't know, it's a lot. But then also, if we look at sex, they could also get addicted to sex, which is just everything is just, it's everything is weird. But you did say that, well, when a teenager is masturbating, they're probably thinking of someone. So when you masturbate, are you not thinking of someone?
No.
Really?
It's been a while, I won't lie. It's been a minute. It's been a while since I actually masturbated, and I've got like one person on my mind. I'm not saying grown-ups are not masturbating with someone in mind, don't get me wrong, but I just think mental or psychological development is much different when you are in your 20s as opposed to when you're like in your teens, right? There's a whole different thing going on. But yeah, I can't tell you the last time I missed. Probably last year. Actually, I'm lying. Last year, maybe, and I know exactly when because I know exactly what I was thinking about. last year, May. Yeah, May. I told him, I was like, I touched myself to you, and he's like, oh,
Oh my.
okay,
I think that is
I
one thing
told
I
him.
don't have the nerve to do. I
Really?
just, no, I don't tell him. I don't think I've ever, no, I'm lying, I have. It depends on our friendship or relationship or whatever. If we're cool like that, then yeah, then I'm definitely gonna tell you. But like, I can't believe that it was like a year ago. So now it's just
Yeah,
vibes.
no,
It's just
now it's
vibes.
no, because also I've been celibate since Jan, so I haven't had sex with anyone since January, but I have been masturbating. But even then, I'm not masturbating like often. It's probably like once or twice a week. I don't know, man. I've just really, there's something about like my sexual part that's just very calm these days, where it's just like I'm in no rush. So even if I wake up horny, I'll like lie there for an hour and just be
Wait
sure,
for
like,
it
are
to
we really
fade.
horny? Yeah, or like, yeah, I'll be sure, like, okay, are we really horny or what? Like, are we just wiling? So I promise you, I'm in no rush. I am in no pressure, zero pressure. I'm just like, okay, are we really horny, or are we just doing this because your senses are telling you to do it? So sometimes I'll really just lie there until the urge is gone. But sometimes I know, like for example, I know when I'm really extremely horny, my period is coming. So those times those days I'll probably just give in because I literally can't help it. Like I feel like a cat in heat at those times, so I'll just
I
do
won't
it.
even judge you, girl, because I know what that
Exactly. So I'll indulge and I'll just do it. But yeah, genuinely, no. In terms of thinking about someone while masturbating, no, I'm calm. What I'm probably thinking about is myself.
Oh, you attracted to yourself like that, huh?
Hella, hella, hella.
Oh,
Without shame.
I should spend some time in the mirror. I could be you in a few days. For someone who's been
You
single
need
for a very long
to.
time, child, I
Girl,
might as well be
how long?
attracted to girl. It's hectic over here.
Okay, to be fair, I've been single for like 2 years. So, yeah. I might understand what you're going through.
Yeah,
A
no.
little, but the masturbation is still with me in mind. It's been a while since I thought of someone else.
Well, that is interesting. That's for sure. I think in my mind, everybody is masturbating with someone in mind. So it's odd for me. I'm like, some people don't. Oh, okay, that's nice.
I guess it's
But
because I mean also it's I think it's also it depends, right? So I guess I know some people will masturbate with someone in mind, but they're watching porn. But 9 times out of 10, when you're watching porn, you're looking at those people. So I think the image that's then placed in your mind has to be very intentional if you're trying to picture someone else doing that to you. So yeah, I think it really depends. But and or if you're just masturbating to your thoughts, then perhaps you could think about someone else and picture the last time you were with someone, or picture yourself with someone new, or whatever the case may be. But yeah, on a personal level, no, I have not masturbated to the thought of anyone in a long time. And maybe that's because I am single as a dollar.
And I think some people are also just masturbate to the sound of sex. So the sound of the moans and the whatnot is enough for them, which I sort of kind of understand as well.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, human beings, I think when it comes to sex, we are such diverse creatures. It is scary. Like, we're so different. And so, yeah, someone can just masturbate to, the ceiling, whatever the case may be. Someone probably just needs a lot of porn to start off. Someone maybe just needs to look at the picture of the person they want to have sex with and start imagining things. So I think, yeah, it really depends on what gets you going on a personal level. But yeah, I think for me, I don't know, my relationship with sex and all that, it's on this wheel, and I keep discovering and rediscovering things, and I have zero pressure. Like, no, none.
I feel you, girl. Well, we are 66 minutes into this podcast, and if we don't stop, we won't, because I think the conversation just keeps looping over and over again.
Yeah, could
So,
keep going.
so I am going to have to say we need to halt it right here. Conversation can continue in the DMs after this, but thank you so much for coming through. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you for sharing your story. It was very powerful, and I do hope parents will play it for their teens. And if teens are listening, I don't know why you'd be listening to a rated podcast, but if you are, listen to the advice. But thank you so much, Kamu.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, I would love to come back again. But yeah, thank you so much for having me. I love your podcast, I must say. Even episode 1 had me. So thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, babe. So I'll catch you on the other side. Bye.
No problemo. Bye.
Just like I promised you, that was a super packed conversation. And you know what? At any point where I said, let me know what you think, please come and let me know what you think. So, number one was, how do you feel about the girl code or the guy code? I'm not pretty sure what the guy code says. I don't know if in the guy code, if you're allowed to date your friend's ex-girlfriend. But it's a thing in the girl code, so just let me know what you think about that. How do you feel about that? And I'm still calling out to people who are into sex education to just let us know how to go about this. I mean, there's a lot of new parents and parents to be listening to this podcast, and I think it'll be very helpful to figure out what it is that helps with our children, how to go about it, because you know what the reality is? Sex is everywhere, okay? Cartoons are kissing today. So, I mean, come on. Our kids or kids in general are definitely extremely, absolutely curious about sex. So, I really would like to have the conversation around this to figure out how to go about it. When do we start having conversations with the kids about sex? What do we tell them to do? Do we tell them if you're going to go ahead and do it, condomize, or don't do it, just masturbate? Like, you know, what are we doing here? Let's figure it out together. So I think those are the two things I've mentioned during the podcast to say, hey, if you've got any thoughts on this, can you please just bring up, just bring your thoughts onto the timeline. I am becoming Ubu on Twitter, and I just want to have the conversation with you. That marks the end of this podcast, this episode, not this podcast. Gosh, that marks the end of this episode. And I'm grateful to everybody who's listened to it, who's going to listen to it, who's been listening, who's been supportive, who's given me feedback. Thank you very, very much. Remember, if you want to help me get a new laptop, buy me a coffee. Yeah, thank you. So I'll catch you guys in 2 weeks' time. Ciao. Thank you for tuning into the Fuck Up Podcast. You can follow the host, Ubu, at Becoming Ubu on Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, and on LinkedIn. If you would like to support this podcast, feel free to buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/thefuckuppodcast.